It's good to be here. And I was aware that there would be quite a few people away, and so I thought it is, as Eric opened the service this morning, it is opportunity for us to perhaps almost have a different feel to things and a different sort of emphasis. We're perhaps freer to do things, you know, when there's slightly fewer numbers. So I thought this morning, I won't particularly teach. What I thought I'd do is I'd actually tell you a bit of my story, or a bit of it anyway. And then at the end, I actually thought we'd probably pray together in smaller groups. We'd pray together. And as I go through this, I've asked one or two people to read, I think, some relevant bits from the Bible to us. I mean, we're in church after all, aren't we? I mean, just to keep us on track. Well, I was born at a very early age. And I was born into a family. I had mum and dad and a big sister. And we lived in Birmingham. My mum was a full-time mum. And then later on, she did some clerical duties for an accountancy firm. My dad worked for the MEB, as it was then, Midlands Electricity Board, and he was actually involved in church leadership as well. So I was born into a Christian family, and I came to know the Lord as a child. So I had the benefit of knowing him as a relatively young person. And as the years went by, my knowledge of God grew. And I used to go along to church. We went to it was an independent church. It wasn't a bad church. It was quite a good church. But if I'm honest with you, I struggled a little bit. And I'll tell you why I struggled. It was because I was always either too young to be in a group. My sister was older. Or I was too old to be part of the other group. And I always felt in between. And I actually want to encourage you, if that's you, I just want to say, hang on in there. You know, God understands you. God understands your situation. And just hang on in there, because God won't let you go. That's really important. Now, I've asked Philippa to perhaps bring that first little scripture to us. Might be useful if you use the microphone, yeah. Thank you. At the church I used to go to, there was a lady, well, I guess she was a young person. Her name was Sue Turner. And I thank God for Sue, because she kept me connected with God, you know, through the difficult years, really. But I always remember being in a sort of session that she was doing with a sort of a class, really. And she talked about being a Christian was like being a car. Okay? Being a Christian was like being a car. You are 100% a car, 100% a Christian. But the car actually didn't do a lot until it had some fuel. Okay? I understood this bit. The car needed fuel for it to do something. So it actually needed that fuel to fill the car in order that it could go, in order that it could do what it was supposed to do. And she likened this simple illustration of a car being a Christian, the petrol or the fuel being the Holy Spirit, and that Christians needed the Holy Spirit in them in order to go. I mean, it's a very simple, basic illustration, isn't it? And it impacted me greatly at the time. But you know what? I did not understand it. I was about 11 at the time. I could understand a car, petrol. I could get that bit about a car needing to go. But I couldn't understand what she meant by a Holy Spirit being in a Christian to make them go. I honestly couldn't grasp it. And it stuck with me for years, that did. And I used to go back and wrestle with it with God for a number of years. So as time moved on, I was still at the church there. And there was a guy that used to visit the church there periodically. His name was Howard Bracewell. He was actually a Church of England vicar. And when he wasn't vicaring, he used to go, and he was a missionary. He was a missionary to the Eskimos. Now, at that time, until now, I've never heard of God calling anybody to go to the Eskimos. It's funny, isn't it, how God seems to call people to warm, sunny places, you know. But God called this guy to go to the Eskimos, and used to go with them every year, and he used to live with them, used to go out with the dog sleds with them, he used to live in some quite rough sort of basic fundamental accommodation. They used to have huge problems, huge alcohol problems. I was amazed that it was a very real tough life that this guy could go and do that. Anyway, when this guy wasn't vicaring or talking to the Eskimos, he actually worked part-time as a garage mechanic in it was a garage in Bristol, and it was actually run by a Christian, and it was called One Way Motoring or something like that. Now, this guy really impressed me. I didn't understand a lot, but this guy really impressed me because he obviously knew God. He loved God. And God seemed to use him, and he used to come and just talk to us about things that he was doing. And that, what so impressed me was that not only that he knew God so well, but that he did something with it. And that really impacted me. And I used to like to be around this guy. He used to come for a weekend, and I don't know how, but I used to sort of manoeuvre myself in saying, oh, do you want a lift from there to there? And I used to take him round, you know, various places. I just liked being with this guy. I was on occasion, he came, and he was telling us about things that had been going on, and then he said a couple came to him, and they said, we want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know, I didn't know what to do. No one had ever asked me that before. And he said to God, he said, help, what do I do? And God said, well, do it like Peter did in the Bible. I wonder, Dave, you've got the next little bit of scripture, haven't you, from Acts. I wonder if you just get the microphone.
Yeah, this is Acts 8, 14 to 17. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit.
So that's what Bracewell did. That's what he felt God said to do. And I remember he said he just put his hands on this couple, and he prayed for them that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And he said that they did. I remember thinking, wow. I thought, well, two thoughts went through my mind. One was, nothing like that ever happens around here. And the other thought was, this guy's trusted God, taken what it says in his word, and he's just done it. And it really impressed me as a relatively young person. A few years passed by, and my job changed, and I had to... I was living in Birmingham, and I had to drive to Ironbridge every day. And then, you know, with traffic and whatever, the journey used to last about 50 minutes to an hour each way. And I started praying as I drove. I started praying. And I can remember there's like an expressway that used to lead away from where I used to live. And I used to pray till I got to the end of the expressway, it was called, like a dual carriageway. And then it used to be a little bit further and a little bit further. And I can remember that over a period of time, I was praying for the whole journey. And then I started praying on the whole journey home as well. And this went on for about 18 months. I just used to talk to God. And I just used to seek him. And I think that was really important in my growth. Then I moved house and job. And I met up with some some new Christians. In the sense that they were Christians I didn't know before. And we started to gather together. And the thing that really, really impressed me, impacted me, was our times of worship. Often we would just gather in someone's home and we would just sing and express ourselves to God through worship. And we could spend hours doing that. And it was something new to me. And what was amazing was that I didn't know most of the songs, but I'd like hear them once, because we didn't have books or anything like that. I used to hear them once and then I'd know them, you know, and I could sing them and I could play them. And it just really impacted me tremendously. Sort of the gift of expressing worship to God was something that I enjoyed so much. In fact, I couldn't get to sleep at night very often because I was still singing. And when I used to wake in the morning, I'd be singing and praising God. And I think that's wonderful, isn't it? I must admit now, sometimes I can't get to sleep because I'm bothered about something. But I do tell you this, that in the mornings, probably two or three times a week, I will still wake with a song, you know, on my lips, a song in my mind, a song on my heart. And I was beginning to experience God in a real new and exciting way. Now, one of these people that I was with decided that they gave me a book to read at the time. And it was called When the Spirit Comes. I think the book was written by a guy called Colin Urquhart, I think. And I think he spoke a lot about his time when he was with David Watson as another vicar up in York, I think it was at the time. Anyway, what this book was all about was he reflected on his experience of the Holy Spirit and how that had impacted the churches that he'd been involved with and the church growth that he'd seen. And it really excited me because it seemed to mirror some of the experiences that I'd been having. Times of worship, times of prayer, times of beginning to explore God's gifts for us. Talked a lot about speaking in tongues. I didn't really grasp that at the time. And it was something that really excited me. Now, Richard, you've got a little scripture verse for us as well.
John 7:38, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit.
It was about this time that I was baptised, you know, like we did here just the other week. And so I was baptised in water because that's what I wanted to do, because I felt that's what God was asking me to do. And I wanted to please God, so that's what I did. And I can remember, sometimes we do it here and sometimes we don't, and I think it's great that we're sensitive in this area, but in those days, if you were being baptised, you used to have to give your testimony and you used to have to tell them everything. Well, we were meeting on a Sunday afternoon because we were having to rent somewhere and we hadn't got anywhere to baptise someone, so we borrowed a church or got involved in their evening service on a Sunday evening. So I had to give this little talk on a Sunday afternoon. Then I had to talk and I thought, I'd better do something different on the Sunday night. And, you know, it was a real pressure. It was real pressure, just, you know, as a young person. And it was my father that said, when you're baptised, he says, the best bit about being baptised, he says, is when you're underwater, you're cut off from everybody else and you're alone with God. And I remembered that, you know. And as I was baptised, as I was underwater, I thought, just leave me here. Honestly, that's what I felt like. Because it was like peaceful. And I thought, now God, I can be with you. I haven't got to put on a front and give this talk and things like that. You know, I can just be with you. It was wonderful. Anyway, 7 days later, I was on my own in my living room. And I just got down on my knees to pray. And I just began to talk to God. And I talked to him about the Holy Spirit. I talked to him about the gifts. As I was talking to God, I just found that I began to talk to him in a new language. I began to talk to him in tongues. See, God knew me so well, in the sense he knows me as an individual. You know, and this is something that he blessed me with on my own. It didn't have to be in a big meeting or anything. You know, he just loved me. He knew what was right for me. And that was wonderful, really. And I felt really at that time in my life, there was a whole explosion in my heart of what God was doing. So let's fast forward now, quite a few years, to earlier this year. I was on holiday, earlier this year, sitting in the sun. Well, I actually decided purposely to take some time out one afternoon to just seek God over a number of things. And I sort of reflected on what the Holy Spirit and my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I reflected on the church and the expression of worship, the expression of, in a sense, our relationship with God and our walk with the Holy Spirit. And God directed me to this passage in Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I had this impression of, in a sense, God's spirit, in a sense, being poured into the church, you know, being poured into a vessel. But as I sort of talked about this with God, I had all this, the magnificence and the power of that being poured in. But I didn't see the output that matched what was being poured in. I saw just a measure of it, shall I say. And I kept turning this over in my mind. But I didn't feel God was highlighting this as a criticism in any way. I felt like he was saying, you know, I've got no problem in pouring out my spirit. He says, we need to learn how to live in the power of the Spirit and how to release what God has given to us. And actually, the more I thought about it, the more excited I began to get, because I felt God was saying, and I want to teach you how to release that. And yes, we can see expressions of it going on in our church life, but I just felt God was saying, I want to do that so much more through you. And I felt that was very exciting. And some of the reasons, there could be lots of reasons, I think, but one of the things that was highlighted to me was that almost trying to grasp a full understanding of what God wants to express through his church. And I thought about Jesus, and he didn't have a problem in this area, okay? It says in Luke chapter 3, when Jesus was baptized, Luke 3, 21, 22, it says, Jesus was baptized too. As he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. Okay, so the Holy Spirit was upon the Lord Jesus. Then he goes into the next sort of rest of that chapter, the beginning of the next one. He goes into the desert and actually gets tempted by the enemy. But then he comes back after that in Luke chapter 4, and he walks into the synagogue. In verse 18, he picks up the scroll and he finds this particular passage, and he reads out, the Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. Skip down a few verses. It says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So Jesus fully understood why he was anointed with the Holy Spirit. And he actually stood up there and says, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. That's relevant to us. And I feel God wants to say that to us as a church. He wants to say that to you as individuals. Just the beginning almost of verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." You can even shorten it more than that. Say, "The Spirit of the Lord is on you because." The Spirit of the Lord is on you because. It's because he wants to fulfill his plans and purposes through you, through me, and through our church. This is the way he wants to express his nature and character in this, in where we live, in what we do. If you can imagine, well, I've got a friend who's got a car, a BMW. It's a really nice car, and he paid 40 grand for this car, brand new. 40 grand for a car. I think it's a 3 litre something or other. It's got lovely red leather interior. And there's no doubt about it, it's a lovely car. Do you know how many miles he does a year? What's the average mileage, would you say, of people now, generally? 10,000, 10,000 plus, between 10 and 15,000. This guy does about 4,000 miles a year, right? I mean, it's up to him how he spends his money, isn't it? You know, that's up to him. But, you know, I've joked with him, you know, I'm saying, "Well, that's a waste. You've got this fantastic car and you do 4,000 miles a year. If I had a car like that, you know, I'd want to be driving everywhere and I'd want to go on a continent and I'd want to go down the autobahn and give it a real blast, you know." It seems as if the capability of this car far outpasses what this guy's doing with it. You know? And I feel that's what God is saying to us. The spiritual capability wants to far surpass our experience there. I'm going to lower the tone now. I've been fitting a new bathroom at home. It's taken me ages, but I'm getting there, right? And I fitted the loo quite recently. I know a bit about loos now. Now, your loo probably works very similar to mine in the sense that there's two valves in the loo, sort of. You see that there? That's, if you like, the outlet valve. And then that one there is like the inlet valve. And then you've got this tank full of water. Now, when you flush the loo, you operate that handle there, it opens this valve. Right, so the water pours into the pan, which means more water pours into the tank. Okay, now I fitted this loo, and we fitted it all, we turned the water on, and water was continually pouring out here. Okay, it was continually pouring out there. So because water was continually pouring out that valve there, this valve remained open, and it kept filling up. So it was continuous all the time. It was continuous water flowing in and straight out. God said, "I want to pour out my spirit. It's an ongoing process." Folks, we need to be on full flush. Okay? Just like that fantastic car that my friend's got. We need to appreciate the capability of what God can do through us. So I was just going to close now, but I was just going to encourage you to gather in little groups of threes or fours, that sort of, you know, size, and just pray for each other. And in a sense, pray, even if you don't actually feel like you want to pray, can I just ask you to do it? In a sense, that's God's spirit almost flowing out of you. So can I encourage you to pray for each other and pray that we will learn to be in a position where God's spirit flows out of us and God's spirit flows into us.